Those without a sense of humor will be offended.
Listener discretion is advised.
I swear to God we're trying to be funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to AdamandEve.com, huh, Spot?
Yeah, so AdamandEve.com.
I just figured we'd get the promo right out of the way right off the bat.
Sure. Promo code is STATIC. You get 50% off one item, 3 free DVDs, free shipping within the U.S., and...
the mystery gift, which you forget every single week.
It doesn't matter. Promo code STATIC. Thank you, everybody who has.
All right, and then... this was Scott's topic, so I'm going to let him explain it. It's a topic I agree with, and I think it's a good idea for a show, but I'm going to let Scott take this one right off the bat.
Yes, and the thing that I wanted to talk about this week was fandom, and not regular fandom, but when fandom goes...
off the deep end?
Oh, yeah, way off the deep end. Some people call them psycho fans. Some people tell them they need a life. And let's start with right now... one of Jillian's favorite bunch
of
movies.
She will kill you for saying that, by the way. Jillian will kill you for having said that.
I know. Right now, what seems to be going off the deep end is the Twilight fans. So
I would say right now. I'd say ever since those pieces of shit were made, there's just more vocal now.
So we've got some collections, actually from 17 Magazine is who put this video together. So hang on.
How was Twilight?
Awesome. Awesome.
I loved it. I read the books, and I still really liked it. I was, like, shaking the whole time, and I was crying.
It was a very romantic, beautiful...
it's fucking amazing. Amazing fucking book.
And he, like, met her in the classroom, and then he sniffed her, and he couldn't take the smell, and she thought she smelled. I love that part.
I'm a Harry Potter fan, but they don't have naked half guys on that movie, okay? So I'm gonna see it. Yeah!
Let's talk Robert Pattinson. How was he as Edward?
Every guy should be Edward Cullen.
Have my babies, Edward. Even though you're dead.
So you want Rob to marry you?
I'm going to marry him.
I'm going to marry him.
When he comes, I'm going to die. I'm going to scream. I'm going to cry.
Do you believe in vampires?
I do. They sparkle.
You become automatically gorgeous if you're a vampire.
That's the way Stephanie Meyer wrote them, so I assume that's how they are.
Do you believe in vampires?
Yes. I believe they're really out there, and everyone thinks I'm crazy, though.
I love the bit with the apple, I want to be that apple!
Oh my god, it was amazing! Oh, it was amazing!
Oh, Jesus! It's hot in here!
Twilight!
I love it.
All right. So, do you know what's really scary about that whole thing? The fact that, Scott, you and I are critics. Do these women have no critical ability to see that these movies are shit?
Okay. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about whether the movies are good
or not.
I know,
but I mean, just
nothing to do with it. Whether you think they're shit or somebody else thinks it, nothing to do with it. These are the fans that I'm talking about that some of the visuals that, for instance, the woman that at the very end that's like, I love it, is practically eating the camera. And I'm sure she's a very sweet person, but it looks as though she's eaten 3 or 4 cameras in her lifetime.
She's a large woman.
She's a big one. And that one where they slowed down the audio and goes, I will marry him.
Her eyes. She believes what she just said.
She thoroughly believes what she just said. And I used to think that William Shatner... he is a huge pompous ass, but I used to think that he was a huge pompous ass because he thought he was the most successful thing on the face of the earth.
Problem is, everyone else made him think that too.
Exactly. That, and really, I can't blame him for not wanting to put up with psycho fans like this. They're frightening people.
Well, okay, here's what I don't get. Maybe you can illuminate a little bit of this. Let's say they're looking past the fact that the books are shit and the movies are shit and they just love them. The whole, I believe vampires are real because this movie, and I mean, there's something inherently mentally wrong with that.
There comes a time.
I'm a big horror movie fan. I don't really believe zombies and vampires and monsters from the deep are out there, Scott.
There comes a time when you become so obsessed about something, or you start to love something so much that you become detached from reality.
And dangerous.
And, well, maybe dangerous, maybe just a little off. But when you reach a point to where rationality is thrown out the window, that's when things get dangerous. For instance, boy, oh boy, I know I showed this to YouTube, and it was the first time that you'd seen it, but this is a man who legally changed his name to Harry Potter, who claims to be the biggest Harry Potter fan.
Hello, I'm Harry Potter himself. You're looking for America's biggest Harry Potter fan, but you're in luck. You found the world's biggest Harry Potter fan. I've been reading the book since I was 11 years old, and have read each of them over 100 times. I know the stories inside and out. But for the past 12 years, I've been the biggest, most obsessed Harry Potter fan anybody knows. I waited for 4 hours outside Wizarding World of Harry Potter on opening day. I've seen each of the movies, the day they were released, if not at midnight. And I camped outside Borders for 24 hours so that I could get Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And eventually, when I did, I was crowned King of the Grand Hallows Ball.
Yeah, okay.
I know every bit of Harry Potter trivia, from potions and spells, to creatures and characters, and the actors that play them.
And yeah, that was just a small taste of his Harry Potter fandom, because, wow, that one... And again, it's... I support fans. I support fandom. I think if you find something that you really love, you should really love it. And if you want to collect the stuff, collect the stuff.
But to me, there's moderation. Moderation. Yeah.
But don't lose yourself in the character. And if you look up that video, just look up World's Biggest Harry Potter Fan on YouTube, you will see that he has changed himself to look like Harry Potter. And... cosplay is one thing, but
life
as a
play?
But I huh?
I said life play though.
But yeah, as I've explained to people, it's okay so long as you can take the costume off and don't lose who you are. And that I think is where fandom really tips the scales, is when you lose who you are or you become obsessed with something so much. Was it Hinckley that was obsessed with?
Jodie Foster,
yeah.
And he thought he'd shoot the president to impress her.
Yes, that's where fandom, he lost touch with reality. That's where it goes dangerous.
And there's been numerous encounters. When I was listening to the commentary track, unfortunately only on the Region 2 DVD for They Live, Rowdy Roddy Piper spends a good deal talking about the stalker he had. That, you know, he had a stalker that was so obsessed with him as wrestling Rowdy Roddy Piper that they were stalking his wife. They were following her to the grocery store. They were following him around. A restraining order did nothing. Harlan Ellison has a psycho fan that every couple of years when she gets out of the asylum, she breaks back into his house and poops on his lawn or on his carpet. And then she's taken back to the home for a few years, and then she does it because she thinks they're married. And other than her breaking into his home, they've never met. But she believes that they're married.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, Josh and I don't have a fan like that. None of you are psycho. We're not pointing out anybody in particular. We're not doing this as a, you know, but... but yeah, I think
the Twilight fandom just pushed Scott over the edge, and he said, we got to talk about this.
It really did. We got to talk about this. Harry Potter, frankly, it was the fandom of Harry Potter that ruined it for Dawn. She used to be a huge, huge Harry Potter fan, and then she became part of the fan community, and she was talked down upon and treated so badly that she lost a love for this franchise of books and films. That
unfortunately, Psycho fandom tends to do that. That the same thing happens with Trekkies. The same thing happens with Trekkies. I mean, I consider myself a pretty good nerd. I can name a lot of weird, obscure Star Trek stuff. Not a problem. But there are hardcore Trekkies that would, you know, oh, you noob, and oh, you're just a poser. You're not a true Star Trek fan, you know, because you don't know this and this and this. And, you know, all these kind of communities seem to be like that, where you're looked down upon to only being, oh my God, a casual fan.
And I want to address that real quick, that whole you're a noob and you don't know this and this and this, or that. You're right. There seems to be a social ladder within fandom where you've got the guy at the top who can name everything and knows everything, and the guy at the bottom who maybe is just introduced to the series. And when someone, if you ever catch yourself, I can't believe you don't know blah, or I can't believe you don't believe blah, whatever blah happens to be, stop. And the reason I say stop is because there was a time in your life when you didn't know that.
Exactly. And I wanted to talk about, this is not changing the topic, but online gaming, multiplayer in gaming, especially within the Halo community. God forbid it's the very first time you try to play multiplayer. Everyone, get out of here, noob. You suck. You know, you're ruining it for all of us skilled players. How am I supposed to get skilled unless I play for a while, you fucking arrogant twats?
I tried playing the Mass Effect online, and
same thing.
And I what's weird is I thought BioWare did this use their servers to match your skill level. Well, they didn't match my skill level at all, and I got called every name under the sun, and I thought maybe this was a there was a different kind of fan of Mass Effect that would give this a go, and I found
it's
out
it's the same
that,
kind of Halo that, assholes yeah, and yeah. all that, as Gears of War assholes.
The worst is Call of Duty, but before we get into that, because that's another episode. Fandom, there was a time when you didn't know this stuff. There was a time when somebody first introduced this series to you, the first time you saw Star Wars,
right
back in the day, and you were just, and you didn't know. And it's okay. I see people like that, or I hear new fans of Lost in the Static of just, I just caught your episode on blah, and I'm going back and I'm listening to the rest, and
I'm
I
sorry
really
for
like
those
your
early
stuff.
Ones.
And yeah, my first reaction is, well,
you might want to start at episode 10 and just not exactly. not deal with those first nine. But
When I hear those fans, welcome, thank you for enjoying what I do and enjoying, you know, the way Josh and I do this. If we ever do get a fan that crosses the line, which we did for SaterCast, there was a fan that became obsessed with Dawn.
I remember you telling me about that. Yes.
Yeah, and it was to the point that he drove across three states to show up in our lawn, weeping, Eek. Wanting to.
Okay, you didn't tell me that part.
Yeah, it was ugly, and that's when we had to walk away. But yeah, there are plenty of, you know. Good on you. I'm glad you're a fan. I'm glad you like it, but it's time to, you know, I'm not my character on SaterCast. I even put on a bit of a personality for Lost in the Static.
It's not the same that goes out to dinner.
Yeah, it's not the same me that's at work. It's not the same me that goes out to dinner with my friends or anything like that.
I like to think that I'm the same
off
the
air
and on. But yeah, like I said, I probably just don't see it. But like we pointed out, we appreciate our listeners.
Definitely.
Our listeners interact with us. Scott and I are both easily approachable. You email us. I've had listeners look up my phone number and call me at home because they just wanted to ask me some questions.
Sure.
Starting to get a little weird there, but I'm still, you know, if I'm not busy, all right, fine.
Yeah. And in my case, shoot me an email. I do answer them.
Yeah, but, I answer everything. And we haven't run across a psycho yet.
Yet.
I hope that
remains so. But yeah, and I understand taking your fandom to that next level. I you know, there do, we get accused a lot of gushing over Mass Effect.
Not anymore.
Not well. Yeah. but we get accused of gushing over Mass Effect. And frankly, I like the universe. I like the story that BioWare has created. I can walk away. If a Mass Effect movie comes out, am I going to go see it opening day? Hell no. I'm going to probably pirate it later. But
You'll pirate it that night.
Exactly. But, you know, am I going to go see it? Yes. Is it probably going to be in the budget theater? Yes. But I will go see it. But the important thing is, you know, somebody even a while back, somebody approached me about Mass Effect cosplay. One of our fans that's really into cosplay.
You said you wanted to buy one of those guns, that the replica gun.
And yeah, there's a replica Avenger out there, but it's like $600, and I'd love to have one. Don't get me wrong. And you know, some of the figures and props, I'd love to have them. Am I going to fill my office with them? No. Am I going to spend $600 and some for a replica plastic gun? No.
But that also says something about the market. That they make that means there is somebody who will spend that, which is a little scary too.
Not really. I mean, what? And again, for me, you can collect all the stuff in the world and you can put your posters up and you can really love this. And if you meet somebody that hasn't been introduced to it, you can go, oh, my God, this is amazing. This has changed my life.
You're referring to my basement?
Oh, my God, this is amazing. This has changed my life. Let me introduce it to you. And that is good fandom. That's really good fandom to go, this is something that has touched me. I want to share it with you.
Which is basically when you and I met at 26, I started introducing you to all these weird movies that I loved.
Right.
And a few of them, you threw the DVDs back at me, but overall, yes, you enjoyed a lot of them.
Overall, I enjoyed a lot of them. Some of them...
Freaked you out?
That stupid Visitor DVD and the fucking birds in that movie.
Although, I know you were ultra impressed with Phase 4.
I was. I enjoyed it. I was surprised. But you're getting off topic again.
But no, but because I introduced you to something I loved.
You introduced me some stuff that you loved, and we share, and some of it, I agree, it's really, really good, and I can see where it may, and some of it, you're on your own. but if you introduce somebody to something, or if you, you know, that's good fandom. Bad fandom shows up when, you know, well, I've never seen Star Wars. What's the big deal? And you look and you go, I'm never speaking to you again.
I've run into that, actually.
You don't, you know, I forget what the heck game it was, but I was interested in it and I went onto a forum and I posted something going, hey, I'm a new player. I'm enjoying the game so far, but I'm curious, blah, 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 blah. And the very next post was, you don't belong here until you're a true fan.
Yeah, see that. Okay, first of all, part of that is the internet. You didn't see that as much pre-internet because people couldn't hide behind.
But you did at conventions and stuff like that.
Yes,
you
absolutely,
saw it.
Yes. And there is that weird, I'm well-versed in this and you're not, and that makes me better than you, that a lot of people have. Which is one reason that Brad is so approachable.
He doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, and he is very, very well-versed in not only old movies, but cinema techniques and filmmaking in general. And he's one of the few filmmakers out there that is approachable.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you're not going to be able to just call up Paul Verhoeven and say, oh my God, I loved RoboCop, I loved Showgirls, I'm your biggest fan. There's going to be police at your door the next day. Yeah. You can't just do that to, like, movie makers and authors. I mean, I'm sure J.K. Rowling's taken out her fair share of restraining orders in her writing career.
Exactly. And, you know, and yes, she has. And there have been, you know, again, I mentioned Hinckley, the one that shot John Lennon. What was his fandom that he was just crazy over? I don't remember. But yeah, there have been some very tragic cases where fandom goes too far. And my thing is, here's how you spot it in yourself. And that's a big, big giveaway when you go, you don't know this, well, you don't deserve to be my friend. Because when I get a new Lost in the Static fan, they go, hey, I don't know your inside jokes, or I don't know this or that, the other thing. It's a teaching moment for me. Thank you for being a fan, and you're right, this has made a difference in my life, and I want to share it with you. So let me teach you, and we can laugh together and everything like that. So
I'm just thinking, how long until one of us has a misery experience?
Hopefully it'll be you and not me.
I like my feet. I use these things all the time. Can't you just bash my head in?
Yeah. Even William Shatner got fed up
in 1986.
In 1986 on Saturday Night Live. And in interviews, he said this was only half joking.
You know, before I answer any more questions, there's something I wanted to say. I having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people?
And it goes on from there. But it's... When it comes to some fandoms out there, you have to grab somebody and go, look, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I really am. But you need to step away.
It's almost like an intervention needs to be. It's the same thing with alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
And people get addicted to Harry Potter and to Twilight and to Star Trek and to all these. I mean, I know you want to talk about this later, but like the whole thing of fan fiction.
Yes.
I totally do not understand that. That to me, the fact that someone would write their own episodes of a show or their own chapters of a book for which they're a big fan of, that to me is the first clue that you are fucking psycho or you're on your path to be.
No. I could disagree with you there because sometimes, for instance, if the story doesn't go far enough or it doesn't go quite where you want it to go, then I can understand, you know, reveling in it a little bit and trying, you know, it's imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. And when it comes to fan fiction or anything like that, it at its very root, it's an imitation of what it's a fandom of. Sometimes it's really, really, yes, in theory, sometimes it's a really, 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 really bad one.
Or I'm thinking more of the disturbing stuff. I mean, if you wanted to write, let's go back to the 60s and 70s when before Star Trek became a franchise, and you wanted to, see Kirk and Spock, you know, and McCoy on a further adventure, so you wrote your own. That's one thing. But when you see Spock bending Kirk over and fucking him in the ass, and you write chapters upon chapters of that, holy shit.
I don't know. I mean, I can see that fan fiction though, because if this really is something that has touched your life, and if you want to fantasize, be it for regular enjoyment or sexual enjoyment, I can see where that comes from, and I can understand where that comes from. You know, it's just the not lost in the static, but Road Trip to Oblivion, when I recorded there,
right.
I had a female fan get in touch with me. She wrote a story for me, and she said, I will pay you anything to hear this story in your voice. Could you record it for me and just let me know
you've told me that
how
one,
much
yes.
you want? And I recorded it for her because, okay, I support my fans.
You had a voice fan.
Exactly. And I have no problem with that. And it did involve me and some other Road Trip characters, but that's okay. And I can understand that is a form of sexual expression. And so that I can understand. And again, the deal where it tips the scales is, can you have a healthy sexual relationship outside of this universe? Or is it that every time you have sex, you have to think about Kirk bending Spock over or vice versa? And if you're on that latter side, that's where it gets dangerous. That's where it becomes more than fandom, more than healthy fandom.
Well, and I've encountered that. I mean, I can't remember if I told you about this or not, but you know all the stuff on Radiodrome about me, people wanting to rape me, right?
Right.
And then I had the contest for the 42nd Street Forever DVDs.
Right.
One of the entrants sent me a picture of his cock and told me how good it's going to feel when he's pounding me and filling me with his man cream.
And do you think it would?
And what happened was, okay, this guy is a psycho.
Yeah.
This guy, and first of all, he covers his face in the photo, but then put his return address on the envelope. So I don't think he's a very smart psycho.
None of them are.
But the whole thing is, okay, that came to my house. My son saw that. My wife saw that. My family is now involved. Someone like that contacts me again. The police start getting involved because I don't know. Nowadays, you don't know if these people are going to be waiting for you at your mailbox with a jar full of battery acid to throw in your face, or if they just think it's funny to send pictures of their cock.
And yeah, that's where you're lost. And
so I have to take back what we said. I do have a few psycho fans, yeah. Not of this show.
Right. Well, we should say that maybe you have some psycho anti fans.
But they took the time to look up my address and
they
stuff,
love to hate you.
I know, but
so they're anti fans.
They hate me for not being Brad.
Exactly. And what we've had to deal with this in the past too at news stations. If you remember the one young lady we worked with that actually has gone on to be very successful, received multiple photos of guys dressed in anything from business suits to boots and a cowboy hat, and that's it.
Right, and then I've told the story about when I worked at Channel 2. They had pictures all over the building of this guy who he fell in love with this anchor, and God told him they were to have a baby together. And so he kept sending her all these things about how he's going to make the baby and what their life's going to be like. And, you know, guy, you're a fucking psycho.
Yeah. Now, there is another type of fan writing that I really do like, and that is the helpful fan. And I'm going.
We have a lot of them.
We do. We have a lot of them. And it's a lot of people going, well, we listened to this and you had your facts wrong here, or you said this in one episode and this in another. Could you clarify? And stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
I like it. No, when you go, you guys are fucking morons. What you said is totally fucked up and here's why. Not so much. That's not so positive there.
Yeah. And actually, at least they had the courtesy to include the here's why. It's the ones that don't include the here's why.
You guys suck, and that's it. Do we suck for a particular reason?
Okay. You know. And actually, I do want to do this, and I wanted to do it in the middle of the show because we already did the Adam and Eve promo. We did it really quick. But this is from Daniel.
I'm friends with him on Facebook, too.
Yes. And let me just read this because this is the kind of writing I love. For amazing deals you won't believe, use this promo. At Adam and Eve. For all you folks who can't get enough, that's where you go for adult stuff. Get 50% off a single item. Bring your friends around if you want to invite them. But wait, there's even more on top of these. How about 3 free DVDs? Plus, free shipping in the U.S., you know it. And a mystery gift. We can't even really show it. For naughty needs, Adam and Eve will have it. Tap up that page and use promo code STATIC.
And see, I like that. It's literally poetic.
And, yes. And
it's inventive.
By the way, I have to apologize immediately after reading it to Daniel. I read really, really badly. And that was a cold read with no rehearsal or anything.
Yeah, he messed up a couple of words. I was going to punch him in the shoulder and I just thought, I forgot he's dyslexic, so...
And he's also being very kind. He's going to some of his artist friends, and he's going to help us work on T-shirts, which we should talk about on the show. That's one quick side.
I have a couple other. Andrew Shepard's been helping us out with a lot as well.
Exactly. So we are getting some designs for T-shirts. And you mentioned it on Facebook, and I've gotten a couple of requests of, just let me know when, and we will. And if anybody would like to submit designs, please do so. Okay.
Yes, but here's the thing. Don't post them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to help us with an image, you email us or message us. I don't want people going, how's this look? Yeah. Right on our Facebook page. No, because that's going to be kind of counterproductive.
Exactly. And Plus, we want to give you credit where credit's due and some other stuff. So anyway, when it comes to helpful fans, I love them. Here's where you got to be real careful, though, because there is a line where you step from helpful into
intrusive.
Intrusive or unintentionally hurtful. Okay. For instance, I can't believe who did you say wrote Old Man in the Sea that you got mad at me for not catching you?
I can't remember if I said Steinbeck.
Right, when Hemingway wrote it. Or yeah.
And neither of us noticed it at the time.
Neither one of us noticed.
We were both flowing.
And you and I both got a really mean letter about it.
I also got a couple of nice ones that said, hey, you know, you might not even...
Exactly.
I mean, I got a couple of nice ones, and I responded to them, hey, thank you. I brain farted.
Yeah.
I admitted, I fucked that up.
And I completely missed it. So it happens. The nice letter of, hey, you know... You missed this, but blah wrote this stuff and not the person you said, and I just wanted to make sure you know. Or Pedro, our Portuguese friend living in Germany,
yep.
who and I talked about what it was like when I was there versus what it is now.
He corrected you, and he was constructive exactly. And nice.
And I'm all for that. Dangerous fandom comes when you go, listen, man, Hemingway wrote Old Man in the Sea. You're a fucking idiot, and I'm never listening again, and I hate you, and I'm gonna find your cats and nail them to a wall and blah, 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 blah. I realize that we make people angry. That's part of what we do. That's part of our show.
Which is why we added that disclaimer to the beginning of the show now, which we're going to have every week.
Yes, that's part of what we do. That's what we do as presenters. It's what we do even... You should hear us argue amongst ourselves. Josh pisses me off on a daily basis.
We don't even talk daily. How do I piss you off on a daily basis?
I check, is he dead yet? And you're not
there. Is that
there.
What that Facebook post was about?
But nonetheless, so you've got this stuff that yes, we're going to, but understand that even though we make you angry and even though I know you want to vent, take a moment to calm down. Have a drink. Have some iced tea. Have a smoke if you do. Have a smoke if you do. And then approach it and go, hey, guys, notice this. You were wrong. Most of the time we go, yeah, you're right. We were wrong.
But there's a difference between the two types of emails we get. 98% of the emails we get are people that know how to use spell check and punctuation and form sentence structures, but there's also that 2% that it all comes with no punctuation. It's a giant 9-paragraph, 1-sentence. There's no punctuation whatsoever. Nothing's capitalized. Half the words are misspelled. And there's been a couple of those where I wasn't sure if it was a joke or if an escaped mental patient was typing to us.
I read those and I get them from two types of people. I get them from the people that are so angry, either with you or me, that they just stream of consciousness, blah, and they just kind of verbally puke this email to me.
But you can't take a second to go spell check?
Well, no, because fuck you, send, take that, motherfucker, and that's the way it is. The other reason I get ones like that is, God bless this young lady. And I've talked to her about some other things, and I said, could I give you credit on air? And she goes, please, please don't mention my name. Please don't. So I'm not going to. This young lady wrote me one of those, and I got two emails immediately. I'm sitting out there, and my iPad just goes, boop, boom, boop, boom. I'm like, what the, boop, boom, what? I got like four emails. Two of which were the stream of consciousness, all one sentence,
word
vomit. Yeah. And the third one was a very well written 4-paragraph letter apologizing for the previous two letters. And the fourth letter was a very short one going, I'm sorry, I've taken up so much of your time. Please forgive me. And if you see willing, please talk to me.
See, okay, those are the ones I don't get. The ones, they feel like they're bothering us. I get those all the time. If you have time, would you mind answering the questions? Okay.
And part of that,
we will always answer the questions.
Part of that believe it or not, is because it's, and I noticed this working in local news in Evansville, Indiana. I worked for an ABC station. I can't remember any shows that were big at the time, but a lot of people in Evansville, Indiana would watch and see Brad Bird on Channel 25 doing the evening news. And they would also watch and see famous actor blah out in LA portraying a character on this deal. And because they're both in that TV world, they're both on that same plane. They don't, there is no separation between your local celebrity and your real celebrity. And I think when it comes to shows like ours, there are a lot of people that listen that just go, these two guys are on the radio, or these two guys are on something that I can't do. And so's Chris Hardwick of The Nerdist and Mark Maron of WTF and all these other truly famous podcasters. And we, in their brain, kind of end up on the same plane. And
we're not.
Yeah, it's a big secret, folks. We're not. But so, you know, and there are also just a lot of people that are so used to being dissed by people that they look up to or are fans of or are.
We did that in our celebrity douchebag episode.
Yes, we did that in our, you know, there are so many that even writing to somebody who, like us, who really don't think of ourselves as a celebrity or don't think we belong on that pedestal, they still approach it as if we are because they put us up there. And thank you. I appreciate it. Like I said, I really do appreciate our fans.
Well, then I would like to say right here, right now, if you email us, you are not taking up our time. You are not, oh my God, I'm so sorry for the long email. We like hearing what you people have to say.
Exactly. Especially Josh, because he has no life.
This is my life.
I know.
So it's a life. It's just a dumb one. But that's what it comes down to is you are not bothering us. We are not like when you write to Brett Favre and he's never going to see the email.
And I'll be honest, there are times when I don't want to deal with people, when I'm doing actual work online or something like that, and I don't want to deal with people, and they'll pop up in my Facebook chat, like, when we're recording. It's happened a couple of times. I still try and be very, very nice about it and be like, we're recording, or hey, I'm doing some work. You know, I'm never the W.C. Fields, yeah, kid, you're bothering me, go away, you know, that kind of a deal. Right. But
I've had the where I felt like I was being rude and I don't know how they felt, where, you know, you've just had a really rotten day. You're on there just to check your email, and then you're going to go to shoot some motherfuckers in the face on Halo,
exactly.
And that's it, and you do not want to be bothered. And they're, hey, how you doing? You want to talk? And you just go, really bad time, not now. And they go, well, fuck you, you arrogant prick. And you're like, but you got to realize, just because Skype or Facebook says I'm on doesn't mean I'm in the mood to talk. That's not being rude or being, oh, your head is so big. That's just, I'm not in the mood to talk. Please understand that sometimes.
And I was going to say, this is one, you know, when that happens, and it's happened to me a couple of times. Hi, Francis. I try and be honest and just say, hey, I've had a really crappy day at work. Hey, Dawn and I just had a fight, you know, or hey, you know, I woke up with a black cat sleeping on my face and it freaked him out and he screwed. Did I tell you about that? What Dexter did?
No.
I woke up yesterday morning and my alarm went off at 3 because I had a very early work day. And my alarm went off and Dexter was sleeping on top of my head, not on my face, but on top of my head. And when my alarm went off, I sat up, went over, smacked the alarm with my hand and realized that there was this cat with all 4 feet of claws just dug into my head because I had sat up with him there. And if he didn't grab hold, he would have been catapulted across the room.
Catapult.
Well, he freaks out and just runs down my face with all the claws out and down my chest. And I end up with scritches all over the place. And I'm just, and it's 3 and I don't like anybody at that time in the morning. And I don't want to deal with it. And I hate everything. And my alarm just went, you know.
you do that to me sometimes. I'll be IMing you about something like, hey, I came up with a great topic, and you go, what the fuck do you want?
Exactly. Well, you, I'm a little bit more comfortable with, like, especially when you email me at 3 a.m. and you're like, what are you doing still awake? And I'm like, still awake? Fuck you. I hate the world. I have to go to work, you dick.
You know, so. I know. So, and sometimes I'm just like, shit, okay, leave him alone. And other times I call him on his shit. You know what? Yeah. Well, fuck you. It's about the show. You can spend 5 minutes and fucking talk to me.
But you know, I guess an important thing, getting back to fandom, one of the things that you have to remember as a fan, whether you're a fan of us or whether you're a fan of Brad's site or whether you're a fan of Star Trek and Star Wars or Harry Potter and Twilight, I support fandom of things in general for the most part. But when it, again, when it goes from fandom to addiction... And you may not even see that switch. This is why it's good to have other friends.
It's a smooth switch. It's not like one day transition. You wake up and all of a sudden you're a hardcore Twilight fan. No, but it's a slow process.
But if you find yourself being the kind of fan that isn't willing to, A, see the actors or the hosts or whatever as people and realize that they're going to have bad days and good days, then there's a problem. If you're not willing to teach someone else about this fandom, there's a problem.
Did you ever have one of those aunts or a neighbor or something that got so into the soap operas, no matter what the other actors were on, if they were in a movie or something, they only ever referred to them as their soap opera's character's name?
Yes.
That's when you're starting to lose that grip.
Yes. When you can't separate the actor from the character, there is a problem.
And it's a little more difficult in our case because, like you pointed out, we're not the same. Well, we're not the same talking to you guys as just Scott and I are talking on the phone.
But we're close.
But you've got people that, I mean, I know Brad's told me when he first started the Cinema Snob back when they were on YouTube and stuff, people didn't know that was a character.
Right.
They thought that was Brad Jones.
Right.
And they didn't realize that he's playing a fucking character on his show. That's the same thing with the Beyond Midnights. All the hate I got from Spoonie's site. I'm using my name,
but it's,
I'm playing a character on that show, which is an overly exaggerated version of myself.
And actually, it works the other way too. This much I'm going to say, not necessarily fandom, but to my compatriots at Jackalope and to people who, you know, internet reviewers at various sites, I don't know, something about Ocular Correction comes to mind and some other sites that are out there. When you as a host lose that disconnect between your character and who you are, that's a problem too. When let's say you play Spooky McBoozalot and you you play Spooky McBoozalot and you put up this site and you review classic black and white horror movies and you do it as an old horror host, and you get enough email and stuff, and maybe I start jokingly referring to you as Spooky.
You start to believe your own hype.
You know, you start to believe, and that's the number one rule if you ever work in TV. Or if you ever work for a radio station or anything, never believe your own propaganda. And there are a lot of hosts out there that believe their own propaganda and can no longer separate themselves from their character.
Glenn Beck.
Like if I ever meet Brad and he looks at me and goes, oh my God, we're going to watch this movie and blah, blah, blah.
He would do that as a joke, though.
He would do that as a joke. But if he ever approaches me and insists that I call him the snob or something like that and can't drop that character, there's a problem. Well, that's the opposite side of fandom. If you're a fan and you can't drop that character and meet Brad Jones or drop Lost in the Static Scott and Josh and meet the two of us and deal with us, even though we're real similar, but there are some differences. You know, if you can't drop that disconnect, there's a problem, whichever side you're on.
Well, because I can tell you the Brad I talked to before we start recording Radiodrome is not the same Brad that's on Radiodrome. I don't even know if it's something he notices. But when we're just shooting the shit, as soon as I say, all right, we're recording now, a different Brad appears.
Well, you have to understand, too, that is, and you do the same thing here on Lost in the Static. You do.
I wasn't trying to exclude myself I know, from it.
But and I'm going to tell you exactly a little bit of an inside baseball. This is where this comes from. And I actually learned to do it when I went to school for communications and went to school for radio and all of that, is because unless you're an amazingly, horribly egotistical individual, you don't like seeing yourself on TV and you don't like listening to yourself on mic.
I can't. I mean, so what I have to edit our show is I don't like what how I sound.
What I do, and one of the coping mechanisms that you deal with, and whether you do it automatically, like someone that's been in the business for years, like me or you or Brad Westmar, and it just kind of it's an automatic switch, is you approach the microphone or the camera playing a character. Even if that character is a character of yourself,
it's still a slightly exaggerated version. It's
slightly exaggerated, slightly out there, and you can go, well, that's not me, so I can be comfortable putting out these opinions, and I can be comfortable putting out this art, for lack of a better word, as this character.
Yeah, when we had Brad Westmore on, before we started recording, he was a different Brad than yes. when we started recording, wasn't
he?
Oh,
yeah, oh, yeah. And I've no doubt that Brad Jones is the same. I have absolutely no doubt that Todd Sheets is the same. I have no doubt that if I ever meet Phelan of Phelous Reviews, if I ever meet him in real life, I'm not meeting Phelous. I'm meeting Phelan, whatever the hell is real. Is that his real name, really?
Phelan Portis or something?
Yeah, Portis or something.
I'm probably butchering his name.
But I have no doubt that even if there is a slight separation there, there's still a separation there.
Right. And you just, a perfect example is the Angry Video Game Nerd and James Rolfe. Okay, he's making that movie right now. And I think he's doing a few douchebaggy things with the money. Okay. You know, he asked for $75,000. He got almost $150,000. And he's basically pocketing the rest. He still said the budget's only going to be the $75,000. I think that's kind of a douchebag move he pulled there. But his fans are so psycho that they're like, well, we just want to see him. We want to see him so bad. We want to help out in any way we can. Oh, my God, I want to see this so bad. And you got to go, you're almost okaying douchebaggery because you're such a big fan. I can't.
No. Nope, I'm going to disagree with you there.
Of course you are. You and I disagree about everything.
Well, no, we don't disagree about everything. Johnny Cash. We both like Johnny Cash.
Man comes to town.
Exactly.
Ring so fire.
Anyway. I think that being a big enough fan that you're willing to help out with this stuff above and beyond your Call of Duty, there's no way I'm going to discourage that, because maybe there's, you know, some super rich fan out there that loves Lost in the Static who comes to me and says, hey, I heard that, you know, later in the year when my work really dries up and you're still searching for work or something happens, if later in the year they come and they say, hey, you're not eating, you know, we heard what's going on, we missed the show, here's some cash, I want to support your guys. Or if there's somebody out there that, like, a friend of ours that just wanted to donate, I have no problem with that.
No, because, really, oh, trust me, all that shit helps.
Exactly.
I mean, people send me stuff, videos, laser discs, art, their own artwork, things like that. That stuff all helps.
And a lot of the money that we've earned doing Lost in the Static ends up being thrown back into the show. And if you remember when my computer died to this one, our sound improvement gets better and it gets thrown back in. So I'm not going to discourage people if they want to help out, if they like it. I'm not going to discourage them.
And see, that's not what I was trying to say. I was trying to say, like, with the thing with the nerd movie is he said, I want $75,000 to make this movie. You got $150,000 and he pocketed the rest. You know, he used $75,000 for the movie and pocketed the rest. That, I think, that was given to him to help make the movie, not to make your house payment. That's what I consider douchebaggy. Not the fact that people wanted to help him.
Okay, I can see that.
That's not what it was given to you for.
I can see that.
So, to me, there's a big difference with that. Now, if he'd rolled all $150,000 into the movie, okay, that's fine. That's what it was given to you for. That's what the fans wanted. But not to just pocket the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of douchebaggy. I'll give you that. Or, you know, I would even say, you know, you come up with another project, make your site better, make more videos, something like that. So it's roll it back in, and if fans are willing to help, give back. But again, and I've met fans that are out there, especially in the Harry Potter franchise, because again, my wife was very involved in this. There was one guy who starved his pet to death because he wouldn't buy pet food.
Because he needed to buy Harry Potter merchandise? Because he needed to
buy Harry Potter merchandise. And there was even one forum post that she showed me. He said, you know, yeah, I lost my cat. I think he named his cat McGonagall or something like that. Yeah, I lost my cat McGonagall. And, you know, the vet said they couldn't save him or you know, something like that. But look at what I've been able to get. And thank God I don't have the cat anymore, because now I don't
have more money.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about those expenses. And I can go out and I can buy this Harry Potter stuff.
You're a psycho.
Yeah, that's a line that you shouldn't cross.
And yeah, to me, I don't like psycho fans. I love our listeners. I love the listeners of Radiodrome. I love the listeners of What the Fuck. Part of the reason that I've been pushing What the Fuck so hard is I like the fact that I think we're getting out real information and that people really are learning something from it. I think Radiodrome, people learn a lot about weird movies from the feedback I've gotten.
Yeah, they do. I know I do.
On this show, people learn about all the experiences we grew up with that a large chunk of our audience is too young. They weren't even alive in the 80s. They don't remember all the stuff you and I now, weirdly enough, take for granted.
And you know, the rest of the fans that are either our age or older can take a moment and kind of revel in the memories.
We're hitting a sweet spot for them, too.
Exactly.
So, you know, I love our listeners. I told you, I don't like using the word fan. I like using the word listener because that helps me keep my ego in check. I don't know about you, but to me that does.
I don't need to keep my ego in check. I know I'm great.
Yeah. So, I don't want our listeners to stop emailing us.
No.
But I do want to say, you are not bothering us.
Not at all.
If you send us an email, a Facebook message, I've gotten ones that, you know, I want to friend you on Facebook, but I don't want to bother you. You're not bothering me.
No, go right ahead.
But then sometimes you get the other side. I've had ones where I've just had a really rough week. I've had to record like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then up by Friday I'm editing. They send me a message on Monday, and I don't get back to them till Saturday. Oh, if you finally fucking answered me. I will answer all emails.
Okay.
Might not be fast, but I will answer you.
Josh, you've got your hands full with your shows. And your
editing. And the writing.
And the writing. And some other personal stuff that's going on in your life right now. Things are a little rough. I understand that. And it's not financial, listeners. He's doing okay.
I'm surviving, we could really use you guys
more, but
spreading those Adam and Eve codes.
But nonetheless, he's doing okay. You're doing okay financially. There is some stuff personally that emotionally is rough in your life right now. And with me, March especially was a very bad month. April has shaped up to be a very busy month. It's just that tax time, and I do retail inventory. I have a real job, and please understand that if I don't get back right away, I am working. I am a poor plebeian just like you.
Sometimes real life intrudes.
I know, stupid life.
So we will say that right now. If you email us, we will respond to you. Might take a week.
Yep.
But we will get back to you. I have this unofficial policy. If you take the time to email me, doesn't matter if you're telling me I'm a fuckhead with a small penis, I will respond to you. Exactly. I respond to every email I get. Every message I get, I respond to it.
I don't respond to every single one. There are some that I don't.
I respond to everyone. I figure when I was on the other side.
The ones that I don't.
Psychos?
Are the ones that just say, you suck, or I hate you, and that's it.
Oh, see, I always email them back, like, could you give me some more details, yeah, or things like that? So I always ask for clarification.
Yep.
So if you guys want to help out, adamandeve.com, spread the promo code static around. And if you guys want to send us stuff, we love to get your artwork
love
and
it.
Messages and there's like a psychedelic band out there called
How
Mountain
do they get
Cult.
A hold of you?
LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com, and they get a hold of you at
Smurray75, Smurray75 at Facebook, Gmail, Google Plus,
Xbox Live.
Really, yeah, no, Xbox Live is different, but that we leave separate.
You don't want them gaming with you, huh?
No, I don't game online, and it's a pain in my butt when people bother me. So
I know you're in the middle of a game with that bloop.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
Anyway, thanks a bunch for joining us. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and
have a nice night.
Thank you. Don't be a psycho.